You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Proverbs and chapter 14. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we just stop to make sure, God, that you have to help us. So, your word, your work, your will, your world, here we are. So, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In a little exercise of late, looking at the tribulation, etc. And in chapter 14 of Proverbs, you're familiar with a little statement made, big statement, verse 14, 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so there's a man who has each, us, think of 100, 1,000 people up in front of you. And 1,000 people all have their mind and heart, how they think, and the way that they're going. They look like they're all in the same city, the same state, but they're all traveling in different ways, as it were. So they're all doing their way. There are many ways, they're all doing their way, and there are many ways, but all of those ways come together. The one, it's one way, 1,000 ways, 1,000 people, but it's really only one way. You're all on the same path, and death is in front of you. So no matter what, we all think differently, but it's really only one way, because we're all going on the same road to the same place, to death, as it were. Now, over to Matthew to help us. And in Matthew in chapter 7, you would recall God's statement. And in the process, chapter 7, and in verse 13. 7 and 13 of Matthew. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For reason, wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a big, we all feel everyone can do everything they want, but it's all the same thing. We're all going the same direction. Hang on to that. And there is a way, God's way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So our little exercise, if it will help, I trust. Here we are, and just think in all that we've done, and I'll just say it and move a little faster, perhaps. So, in the light of everything, God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, as you know, went and sinned, disobeying God, took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in doing so, they were ousted out of the Garden of Eden, and Cain and Abel were born. Cain is born, and everyone's, as we've shared all these different times, everyone in that day is very, very conscious of God. It's us humans and God. So they're very, very, God's right there in a most wonderful way to realize him and experience him. And Abel chose to honor God, Cain didn't. And Cain went and builded a city. Instead of being scattered, he disobeyed. God wanted him to wander, not get stay put in any place. But Cain was not going to do that. So Cain went and built the city. And we shared in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, it's a participle. He's building the city. So the city isn't built. So Cain is busy building the city. Hang on to that. And he's building the city. And in the meantime, Cain has killed Abel. Did God take care of it? What did God do to Cain? He didn't do much to Cain, did he? Cain disobeyed, built the city. He was building the city. God, you aren't doing anything. We're in the presence of God. God isn't doing anything about Cain. So all us humans that are born know what? That we don't have to look to God. Cain doesn't look to God. Cain doesn't trust God. None of us have to trust God. We can do what we do, etc., Lamech and all of that. We can do what we do. Cain gets away with it. Everyone else does. So Genesis 6, we shared it. We're all there. There's no religion. There's no competition. There's no confusion. We're all doing us and God. Us and God. There's nothing confusing about anything. But comes the Genesis flood and Noah 120 years and all that, and God judges them. So here comes the sons of Noah, and they all develop, and what do they know? Well, we don't want to do what Cain and them did. They just ignore God. They just didn't pay attention to God. They just rejected him. So you can't reject God because God is God. He's everywhere, all present, all powerful. We can't get rid of God, so we'll make gods. So what did they do? They proceeded to go, band together, and they built the city, building the city, always building the city, because that's what keeps us together, and the tower to reach up into the atmosphere in order to communicate to the gods. To the God. So we become religious. And thus, God, Elohim, plural, gods, Elohim, little g. So we don't want to honor God as God. We're going to go and honor our gods in place of God. So we're conscious of God. But we're going to redo it, refashion it to gods, the little word God, G-O-D-S, this small g. And we did that. So now having done that, God scattered us, Genesis 11, as you know. And when we were scattered, what do we do? We didn't fix anything. God just judged us and scattered us because he said he wouldn't flood the world again. So we're spread all out, and we're spread out, and as we go, based on language and all of that, across planet Earth, we do what? What do we know to do? Cities and towers, politics, government, and religion, gods. That's what we know to do. That's how we get along. We've got to have government, and you've got to have religion, something. To put in place a God, as we shared in the past here. Got to have something to put in place. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so here's all the cities, and here's all the towers, and here's all the religions, and here they are. There are many ways, everyone's right in their own eyes, and we've got all kinds of religions, and all kinds of things, and all kinds of ways. And in our day, the churches, many, 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 many. So in the light of all of that, in the light of all of those things, what do we know? Here's the gods, little g, and why? Hang on. Over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, and you're going to go to chapter 4, And 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, what are we going to do? We're going to remind ourselves that who's in charge of this business of God's? Well, the one in charge is the devil or Satan. And in the process, we're told, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They're wandering, everyone doing his own way. In whom, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So they want to remain in darkness, and they don't want to see, they don't want to believe. And since they don't want to believe, they don't see. They're blinded, blinded. So, and he's the point. Here's our little, here's our religions, our gods, that's what, God, religions, gods, taking the something, taking the place of God in some form, atheism, even, whatever, but something take the place of God, communism, socialism. Now, in the process here they are, and he, Satan, is the God, he's the boss. He's the boss, so hang on to that. He has all the gods, all the religions, and he's the boss. And you know, without turning there in Ephesians 2 and 3, he's the prince, the ruler, the power. He's the ruler of the power, the authority of the air. He's the one in charge. You know from Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, Satan offers Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world. The Lord Jesus never said they weren't. They all belong under the domain of Satan, the devil. They're all his. But they're gods. That's what they got. That was the whole point. What's the whole point of gods? To keep you from God. So we got all our gods, so we don't have to handle, deal with, think about God properly. So having said that and keeping that in mind as we proceed, and so here's the church. The church is there, and the church is to be a testimony, as Israel is, to God's wonderful, 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 wonderful person. And the person of God is going to go and show the world who he is in the believing heart, as we shared this morning. So there's a going backwards, coming forward into the end of the Old Testament and all of that, we go the unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Gentiles, and so we all have our gods. Jews have Judaism and all of that. They got all of that, but they not looking to God. There's always a remnant, and they're going down the corridor. So here's all the people, but we aren't looking to God. We aren't looking to God. So when God sends his son born in Bethlehem of Judea, born in Christ, is what? He's rejected. He's rejected by the people. He's rejected by the nation of Jews, rejected by the Gentiles. And we just don't want him. And so they crucify him. In the process of crucifying God, God demonstrates his marvelous grace. And his marvelous grace is being what? He's showing God. He's like Abraham and Noah. Noah walked with God, etc. And here's the church, the believers, are to be showing God's wonderful person in an age of unbelief, in an age of rejection, in an age when men love darkness rather than light, and that's what they're doing. And so they have a choice. Here's all the gods, and then here's God demonstrating his saving grace in a believing heart, in the local assembly of believers like this, if you would. And I can do that for the, to keep you awake. Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 33, you would recall, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. So the local assembly of believers is to demonstrate the wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from again. So we have an empty tomb, but we have a local assembly with believers who take the place. They show why the tomb is empty, because Christ lives in the heart of the believers. So now, having said that, going down, about the world doesn't want to know that, doesn't want to understand that. So, and here's all the gods. What are we going to do with the gods? Over, if you would please, Revelation. Now, before you do that, over to Galatians. And picking up, if I can, over to Peter. And in First Peter, and you would note that we, the believers, ought to be kept by the power of God, First Peter, and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, it isn't going to be, because no one's paying attention, it seems, to the believing heart. And so therefore, the believer needs to go, as they're going down, that all the gods are there. They're all going on the same road. Doesn't matter how many and how many, they're all different, but they're all on the same road. They got all whatever in their thinking, but going the same road. Now, so therefore, we had to understand, verse 6, we are in your great rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, through the heaviness, through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we're going to hang in there. That's what we're doing. Whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So the believing heart just keeps going down the corridor of time, showing God's grace, assembling and showing God's wonderful person of all the different things. I remember when a few years ago in town, when they were going to build a number of racetrack over here and different things, and they were going to do all that. And I remember one of the councilmen saying, and the different churches, they were doing different things at the time in the light of the racetrack and that. And I remember the councilman saying, and they were talking about our little gathering. And in the process, he said, no, we better not even think about that. That's the only conservative place among us. So we got to have somebody that's saying something different. That was back then, a long time ago. Now, having said that, to 2 Thessalonians. So we're going to hang in there. God, that's what you're going to do. And 2 Thessalonians tells us of what's going to happen. And you know from verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who sent this man of sin, the son of perdition? Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth on the throne, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? So the whole purpose is to produce a setting with the temple in Jerusalem. We aren't going to, that's what we're going to do, temple in Jerusalem. And where he can find his place at the right time in history find his place in that temple. So he is the lawless one. He wants to be, like we shared in Sunday school, like God. He can't be God, but he'd like to have the position and power that Jesus Christ has as the Son of God. And God, in the meantime, has placed us in Christ and has us seated where he sits, where Christ sits. And the devil wanted to be like that. And you and I, in God's grace, are going to have that position. That's what's going to be phenomenal. We have a position the devil wanted. And God won't give it to the devil. He's going to give it to the believing heart in the church age of grace. So he's the lawless one. Now, how's the lawless one going to go in all of these details? Sliding down to, if I can, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. The lawless one is going to use lawlessness to produce his system. Lawlessness. And what are we going to do? Every way except God's way. Every way except God and his word, etc. That you're going to do it. So the verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness does already work back then. Even he who letteth, hindering, to let to hinder, he shall let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, the Spirit of God is going to take the church out. The church is there, and the Antichrist can't go any further. He wants to go further, but he can't go further because we're here. What are we doing? We're bearing record. What are we supposed to be doing? Bearing record to the resurrected life of Christ, to be saved, to enjoy being saved, to thank God for being saved. How are we saved? By the resurrection, the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the mystery of iniquity is there. The lawless one, like, do it, but he can't do anything because the church is there. And what's he going to do? In verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So the Antichrist can't go further in God's wonderful plan. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, and that they might be saved. They don't want to be saved. They love darkness rather than light. We have many ways, but the ways are all the same road to death. Verse 11. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie of the falsehood. They're going to believe what? Well, we're gods. Remember what we have? Lots of gods, lots of religions, philosophies. We got them all over the place. We got them. And there are many, so you have your choice. A choice of all over being from one thing to another. You have your choice to believe what you want. But you're all going the same way. And that's where it is. But that isn't the way it's going to be. Because that isn't what it's about. It isn't about you having your little choice. It isn't about you all these different ways. No, it isn't. But it is like that. Why? Because the devil is outworking. He's the God, the prince, the power of the air. He's the God of this world. He's going to do what he's going to do. What's he want to do? He wants to be God, to play God. That's what he wants to do, to play God. So the system has to change. It has to change. But in the meantime, we've got all the gods and the religions busy, busy, busy. Now, Revelation 17. And in Revelation chapter 17, you recall now, Revelation 17 is a section of the book of Revelation, but the actual movement, the event, will be in the first part of the 7 years, seven-year tribulation, rapture, God takes the church home, then begins the treaty signed Daniel 9:27 for 7 years, etc. And that's when you'll find Revelation 17. And what's Revelation 17? Well, here we are on planet Earth, and we have believers here in Venezuela and Europe and Africa and Canada. These believers. And the believers are there in some form or fashion. But God's going to take them. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to take them. So what have we got left? We got all the religions and all the gods and the gods. Religions, gods, we got them. They're still all here. The World Council of Churches and all of those things. So in the process, here's all these churches. And God takes them out. Just like if the Lord were to come on the Lord's Day like this and come and his people gathered in some form all across the country, etc. And that God would take, and there would be believers all gone, and there would be people still sitting in the pew. And many churches wouldn't have any. They'd never know anything happened. They'd never know anything happened. They just keep right on going. They keep on singing, and God bless you, and go out the door. That's what they're doing. Now hang on. In the process, that's what they're doing. So now, God, what's the point? Well, Revelation 17 says, what do we know about what's going on? We know what the Antichrist is trying to do, keep us all in the place where we have many gods, many religions, and as long as we don't look to God, turn to God, trust God, as things multiply down the road here, and as they are multiplying, and they are multiplying down the road, and in the process, I don't want to get sidetracked. In the process going down the road, you remember we had in the back there the big 10-story image of that they were making electronically, and you probably got the little sheet and everything. I think in Ireland or somewhere making it. They're busy making it. They're busy doing it, and it's a big electronic 10-story high. Robot, full of electronics, be in the middle of a city to be a show, an entertainment, a way to think, because it's all computerized system. Wonderful, and going to be 22 of them, whatever it was going to be, in different cities. They're building it. They're building this thing. And in building it, it's an awesome thing. Where's the power? If you were just a little old person, where do you have power today? In the computer system, in technology. And if you know how to play the game and play the computer, you can do anything. Because everything is control. What? My money in the bank. Everything we do is by the computer. The website, the credit cards, everything. It's all in the computer system. It isn't. It's there. All you got to do is know how to use it. And we've done all these things. In India, I remember the one place in India, let alone the other places, where they just had everything in one place to be able to push the right buttons. They could control everything that goes in ShopRite down the street on a given day. Wow, that's power, my friend. Power. The computer is doing it. It's people using it. Using it to do what they do. So, technology and this big giant, and 22 of them, will communicate. That's their plan. It's in the process. Hang on to that. And that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to control. Going to control. You can't buy or sell. Okay, hang on to that part. Now we got that. It's in the process. Think of what we did in the beginning. In Genesis 4:17, Cain was in the process, participle, of building the what? City. The city isn't finished. The cities aren't finished. The cities don't answer. The cities are the way we try to make everything work out without God. Cities are there. The electronic world is in the mushrooming giant power. Right at the, it's mushrooming and it's powerful right now, let alone it's getting more powerful. So, and the people that can use that, that's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing, control. And then I was given this today, which is very good. This is in Saudi Arabia, which is really helpful. This has to do with the new thing they're doing called the Mirror Line. And the Mirror Line. Now, I don't want to... if you're in Revelation 17, look at chapter 18. And in chapter 18, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, devils, and the whole and the hold and the hold of every hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for of every unclean and hateful bird, etc. And as you keep reading, it's all about this city, this awesome city. Okay. And if you've been thinking about Bible a little while in your life, one of the things that we understand, Genesis 11, where did they go? They scattered them. Nimrod, Genesis 10. But Nimrod, Genesis 10, what did he do? He built the city. Babel/Babylon. He built the city in the land of Shinar, same place. That's what he did. He built that city. He was in the process of building it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so that's the center point. Where does Babel come from? Genesis 11. Genesis 11 is, they all have what? One language, one politic, one religion. Babel, Genesis 11, they were scattered. You've got Babel, Genesis 10, Nimrod, and then you go down the corridor. Has God changed his plan from Genesis 11 to have one politic and one, and God, God's little g? No, he hasn't changed it. So when we go down the corridor of time, in the process, as we're going, I forgot what I was going to say for a minute there, and in the process, as we get on the part of that Babel, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. As Nebuchadnezzar is what? Genesis chapter, Daniel 2, 31 and following. What is Nebuchadnezzar? He's the head honcho of Babylon, answering to nobody. His kingdom is awesome. And then he's the head of the image, Daniel 2, of the image of all the Gentile nations. Everything is coming, all coming, flowing. All the nations are flowing out of him. Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, here we are. And so here we are looking. Here's Media, Persia. Here's Babylon. Is God, God hasn't quit. So all through the pages, as we turn, and people in the 40s and all of that for our more recent history, we're looking, where is Babylon? Babylon. And we know there has to be, according to Revelation 18. That's a literal city. A literal city. And they're going to weep and mourn because it's their key city, remember, as you read it. It's an awesome city. Now, we say, where is it? And they're saying it's going to be Euphrates, Iraq, over there in Iraq. Iran. And I know they have the remnants of cities and all of that over there in the ruins that they make note about. But that doesn't look too good from looking out the window, and it doesn't have to be. And then we have Iraq, and here's Jordan, and Iraq. And here's Saudi Arabia, right there. Now, that's what's interesting, because here's Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is in the process of building what is called the Mirror Line, mirror, like a mirror, line, the Mirror Line, called the Line. What is that? They're planning with great detail to build this city 75 miles long. They're going to build this city. And from the edge of the Red Sea, going northwest up through the top of Saudi Arabia, going to have this long city, and it'll be able, it'll answer the warm climate and green and everything. It'll be wonderful example, place to live, the key city, and tells all about it and what they're doing. And I say, see, you don't care about the pictures, so you can't see them anyway, but there it is. Now, so having said that, now say, oh, that's wonderful. But then, this project called the Mirror Line is located on the Red Sea, on the Saudi, here's Saudi Arabia up here. And in Saudi Arabia, and here's the little dot, and there's a little place called, it's called a functioning district called Neos, N-E-O-S, N-E-O-M, Neom. That's a little place. Now, do you know what that is? That is the place that they're planning all of this city and all of these wonderful things. Do you know, I got to tell you, if you look to the map, you won't see it, it's what it is. Do you know how big this facility is? It's bigger than the state of Massachusetts. This facility where they're doing this is bigger than the state of Massachusetts. If you don't think that's involved, $1 trillion they're into it. If you don't think that's involved, man, when you have anything that big, do you know how expensive it is to take care of a department, a bunch of people busy working to design this, to do these things? As big as the state of Massachusetts. Did you ever drive from Boston over there to New York? It's a little bit, isn't it? It's bigger than that. I got to tell you, I'm impressed. Now, if I ever wonder where Babylon's going to come from, there has to be something. They're busy, going to build it. Put that together with all the stuff. Now, all of it's what? They don't have to finish anything. They just have to keep doing it. In other words, this is for 75 miles long, this building is, two of them. I have to tell you, that's a little bit. I mean, that takes a lot of cement or something. I have to tell you. But it doesn't have to be finished. And that's why Revelation 18 again, they're going to what? Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And remember, all the merchants of the world, what's this? Can you imagine what this, that you know Dubai over there, here's a Dubai, and Dubai's a rather ritzy place, you know. And you can go to vacation there, I guess. I've been in the process. Here we are, Dubai. That's a plush thing the Arabs have got. This is north of Dubai. This is going to make Dubai look like nothing. Isn't it? I got to tell you, I'm impressed. They want it to be the city of the world. And no man can buy it because everyone's going to come to buy, to sell, to bring everything to it. That's awesome. So all of this is in continuance. It doesn't have to be finished. The Lord could come for us at any moment. But all the things can happen without it being finished. Now, sliding over if I can, chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven seals, vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So they're all drunk. What are they drunk with? Religion. What is the power? Something to take the place of God in some form so that you feel good, you feel protected, you still have a little bit of comfort and safety. That's what they want. Not only the kings, the politic in the coming up is going to use religion. How are we going to use religion? When the God takes the church, what do we have right now? The World Council of Churches, what is everyone looking to do? To unite Protestantism and Catholicism and Islam. They've been doing this for years. For years they've been doing this. And they're busy, busy, busy. You say, well, isn't finished. No, it isn't finished. But I got to tell you, that's where they are. We've got to come together for unity, for safety, to keep us warm. Global warming. Are we trying to get warm or cold? What are we doing? Anyway, what we're doing in the green, all of that. Wow. They're going to keep us, so we've got to have it. What are we going to have? Revelation 17. The church goes up, and you're going to have a uniting officially, because we aren't in the way. We're all gone. And in the process, gods, little g, religions, we're all going to come together and have a unity. Isn't that what we want? Yes. But you can be baptized the way you want, and you can be baptized the way you want, but we're all going to be one. You all can do what you want, but we're all going to be one basically as a unit. We're going to be governed as a unit. And that unit of religious conglomerate is going to what? The politic, the ten horns, the Antichrist, the kingdom, is going to use that religious body controlling Islam, all of it, controlling it, is going to use that body. And you'll notice, please, in verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit, in the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman is riding. It's using the religious system. The woman is using the religious system. The woman, the religious system, is using the kings. The kings give them power, because that's where you get it. And they do all that. So there's the gods. With all the gods become one god, many gods under one banner, the World Council of Churches and everything, the ecumenism. And what is it? The government is going to control that. That's what it's going to do. It's going to use it. Now, what are we looking for? Well, God, we got Genesis 1. 6, and there's God, and there's have to answer to God, or there's no other way to go. What does the devil want? To be able to get rid of all of the gods and all of religion. Why? Because he wants to be God. He doesn't want any competition. No competition. He wants to be as God. And he's going to set his temple, set his image in the temple. That's what he's going to do, and set his image up in the temple. And when he sets his image up in the temple, he's going to go, as you know, well, look at over the, well, chapter 13 and that. What's he going to do? You can't buy or sell. He's going to what? Seek to dominate the world. Now, how can you dominate the world? Here's the religious system. We have to do something with the religious system. Therefore, Revelation chapter 17, remember verse 17:15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, where are people and multitudes and nations and tongues, languages, all the people of the world, and the ten horns, you know, under the Antichrist, which thou sawest sit upon the beast, the Antichrist, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. What are we going to do? We're going to eliminate all the gods. we're going to eliminate the religions. Protestantism, Islam, Catholicism. They use it to get power. And when they got the power, in the middle of the tribulation, Christ wants to be as God. And he eliminates everything. And you'll please notice God is for this in chapter 17. In verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts, in the these ten kings, God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the words, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. In other words, everyone has to thing work out. All that God has said, all that God is going to allow, all of that has to happen in a most awesome, awesome, awesome way. Has to happen. So what are we going to do? We're going to end up with what? In the middle of the tribulation. You don't have your choice. You don't have a choice of religion. All the religious ads in the phone book or your computer, out. All you have for 3.5 years is the Antichrist. And you have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Because there is no way to go. Either you honor it, either you honor it, you survive, you can have everything, or you go to Revelation 13, you can't buy or sell, and you die. Not all will die, of course, but those people could die, but they didn't do it. So you have to no choice. My point, we get hung up with religions and churches, and who knows what is true, and who knows what is what. And it's all a big lie and doesn't exist. And the devil's going to remove it. So that there'll be just what? You have to choose. You choose to worship the devil or else. And then there's God. Then there's God making in his wrath in all of the, in the Revelation 6 through 19, all of those judgments are awesome. But you know what? Like as in the days of Noah, what are they doing? Everyone's doing that and they're right in their own eyes. And as the days, the giving and marriage and everything, they're going to, as we shared on Wednesday, they're all going to do what they do. That's because we keep doing what we do. No matter what the price of milk or gas is, we're going to keep doing what we do as best we can. That's what we do. And the tribulation gets terrible and we live with it and we work with it. That's how we do. Why don't you look to God to get... But we don't look to God. Are we looking to God as a country to get rescued? I know there are believers looking to God. People are looking to God. But we aren't doing that. And remember years ago when we had problems, and they used to call even us guys down to the city green. They wanted us all there to pray for the crisis, to pray for whatever it was at the time. We don't hear that. You don't hear any of that. Why? Because we're in a different state. So here's, and that's in the tribulation. So you don't have a choice. And all of the stuff we're talking about, who knows what's right and who should have this? What's wrong with a little of that? What's wrong with the, and you line them up, Methodist, Baptist, Congregational, Presbyterian, line them all up. And there's believers out there. But line up the system. That's there. The system isn't going to save anybody. It's his church and our churches, our old flesh, our personal. That's our church. That's why we like it. We like our church because we can do what we want. His church, you can't do what you want. That's the trouble. If it's his church, you can't do anything. You have to follow the rules. You're sort of stuck. It's his church. So now, having said that little bit and I don't know where I am. Anyway, you're getting a little bit. I'm trying to help you understand. And so in the kingdom, what's the opposite? The opposite. God gets rid of all that. There's no religion, no churches. Kingdom, just God, Christ in Jerusalem. Wow, wow. And there's no deception. The devil, demons are all gone. And the devil's put away in his dungeon down there and put away. and the end of 1,000 years. But 1,000 years, what did it do for people with no religion? All they didn't have to make a choice. There was only one God. God, straightway, in perfect conditions, comparatively, the Garden of Eden. All you had to do was look to God, but they don't. That's the whole point. Religion was an out. The gods are an out. The whole system is an out to excuse a human being from answering to God, their creator. And so when the devil is loosed at the end, at Revelation 20, when he's loosed at the end, he's able to go all by his lonesome and deceive the whole world as the sand of the sea. Wow. And they're all going to go and shake their fist at God. You see, hypocritical, as your psalm says, in the kingdom, it's a hypocritical obedience. God says, bow down, we all behave ourselves. We don't behave, we get in trouble. But in our heart, we're still standing up. So, and God, after 1,000 years, the devil is let loose, and they choose. Aha, a choice, you see? A choice. Well, God, here we are, many choices. But actually, there's only going to be one coming up from the tribulation. From the devil's standpoint, it's just going to be the devil or God. Take your pick. Take your pick. The kingdom, it's God and then the devil. Just the opposite. Wow. Now, God, you're going to do that. I am. I'm going to let all of that happen in a most awesome way. And it's all going to work out. And 1,000 things we could have said. I hope we said more. I hope you got a little bit. I know it's getting... I'm thinking of the treat melting. There's ice cream, and I didn't want it to melt too much. So I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing what's happening. I'm trying to give you a detail so you see the movement. It's an awesome movement. Wonderful movement. You need to see it. Sort of exciting. You know, I think that's exciting. I don't care how they do it. I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to live in that 75-mile thing. I'm not going to do it. I won't even see it, maybe. Anyway, God help us. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And as we sort of just fumbled along, God, help us to understand a little bit how the wonderful outworking is going to take place. And God, thank you very, very, very much for doing it. The outworking, God, all that's going to happen, you know. So, and all, God, it's... The world is busy, busy with technology and achievement and engineering and creating all kinds of things that they never could even conceive. And God, we're waiting. You're waiting to take us home so that all these things can happen. And our God, we thank you for loving us and for caring. And God, as we try to put these pieces together, thank you very, very much. Thank you, set apart that little refreshment according to your good pleasure. In Christ's name, amen.